fix me.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
You're listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
But when you get caught in the more details and the nuances of the organization, you miss the organizer of the body, and that's Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't be concerned with all the little nuances going on. Because how many know, as long as you're dealing with people, there's going to be things that happen. But you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. So here is this priest, he's dressed in the garment, he's looking the part, but here's a soul in need, stripped naked. He been robbed, about to die, but he walks on the other side. How many know that's the difference between religion and relationship? When you got a relationship with God, you'll be able to hear God. God would have spoke concerning something. At least he should have threw out a prayer, God bless him. Amen. You don't just walk to the other side. Now, somebody said, well, maybe it could have made him ceremonially unclean. Thank God we in the new covenant. To where the blood of Jesus that made me clean. Could have been. We speculating, it's not in the text. And likewise, the church member came by, the Levite. See, you couldn't be a priest unless you were of the lineage of Aaron. But the lineage of Aaron came from the family of Levi. So the priest had to come out of the church. Amen. So likewise, a church member, when he was at the place, he came and looked on it. At least he looked. Checked out the situation. But the problem is he did the same thing. He passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. How many know we have to come where people are? Now, many times, we have to be careful. Because we'll go to look at other folks saying, you know, they need to come where they are. Let me say this again. We have to analyze our own lives and say, am I doing my part? How many know it's easy to say, well, look at old John and Jim. Look at old Suzanne and Tamika. They ain't doing right. But the point of this story is, what are we doing? We have to make sure we don't pass by on the other side. Because sometimes to help somebody, it's going to cause us to have to stretch. It's going to cause us to have to come out of our comfort zone. And whatever our comfort zone, see, our comfort zones can be different. My comfort zone may not be your comfort zone. For some people, the comfort zone could be love. For others, the comfort zone could be finances. I'm going to keep my finances. For other people, the comfort zone could be commitment. I got all these other things going on. But how many know this person is in need? So Jesus is telling this story on purpose. Who is my neighbor? Jesus is trying to show who the neighbor is. So he goes on to say, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Lord, give us a heart of compassion. And went to him and bound up his wounds. How many know he took time with this man? See, America, thank God for America. Don't get it wrong now. We got freedoms, capitalism. Thank God for all that. It's a blessing. It is. Free enterprise. Thank God. Freedom. You can travel state to state. It is a blessing to be an American citizen. Don't fool yourself. Thank God. But at the same time, we can get so caught up in the prosperity of our nation that we forget about the man on the side of the road. We forget about the woman on the side of the road. And I want us to understand this morning, that all of us have somebody we can help. Because many times we think, I can't help nobody. Somebody needs to help me. No, you got Christ in you. You got wisdom in you. You can hear the voice of God if you belong to him. And you can help somebody. There's always somebody doing worse than you. You might say, poor me. But listen, there's somebody in the nursing home can't move. They love to have somebody come just read them a story, sing them a song. There's somebody in jail say, please, somebody write me a letter. Somebody come visit me. There's somebody who don't have no food in the house at all. And they say, listen, I'll just take a bag of beating weenies. Amen. Just give me something. Help me out. We're the blessed people of God. So we have to see ourselves as blessed. Yeah, there may be different socioeconomic levels in here, but I'm telling you, whatever level you at, you can help that person in need. We're going to deal with it in a moment. I told you I wasn't going to be long. He had compassion on him, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. Look at your neighbor and say, be a healer, be a healer, be a healer. A lot of times, and this includes me, we can be causing wounds. Amen. Causing wounds with our mouths, causing wounds with our actions. Help us, Lord. Amen. But how many know we need to be a healer of wounds? See, in order for them to get involved in this man's life, they had to slow down and stop and see what's going on. How many know when you're concerned about somebody else, you're less concerned about yourself? See, when we're more concerned about ourselves, we ain't looking at the next man and we wondering when somebody going to stop by and help me. No, Jesus say the point of this story is stop by and help somebody else. The preacher didn't walk by. The church member didn't walk by. But this Samaritan said, you know what? I'm going to get off my beast. I'm going to put him on my beast. I'm going to bind up his wounds. I'm going to help him. I'm going to be a healer. Says he brought him to an inn. Or rather, he put oil and wine in his wounds, and he set him on his beast. The wine was to be a disinfectant. The oil was to be a healing balm. And he set him on his own beast. If he set him on his beast, how many know that mean he walked? And brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. They say a pence in this time was a day's wages. So he took out 2 days' wages and gave them to the host or the owner or the keeper of the hotel and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Now, this has also been taught of a type and shadow of what Christ has done for us. We were wounded. We were sin sick. We were naked. We were abandoned. But because Christ died on the cross for our sins, he healed us. He saved us. And eventually, he's coming back to redeem us. Even though we're in this earth, he's coming back. And he told us to be salt and light and occupy until he comes. So how do you stretch out in love? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, have fervent and unfailing love one for another. Everybody say, Lord, help me to have fervent love for my brothers and sisters. Because love covers a multitude of sin. I want you to know prayer help you too now. Because there's some stuff that can be so deep, you don't want to cover a person with love. You want to hate them. You want to be mad at them. You want to be upset at them. But fervent love. Sometimes you have to stretch in your love. You might say, you don't know what I've been through with them. Or I just don't have time. You have to stretch with that love. This is what the Samaritan did. I'm sure he was busy too. But he stopped. Took time to love. Tell your neighbor, take time to love. Take time. Take time to love. Yeah, they didn't cuss you out in the past, but that's all right. Forgive them. Take time to love. They done stole from you. Amen. Whew, that could be rough. But see, sometimes we have to think about what we've done. That's not a person in here that can cast the first stone. Because everybody in here has sinned. And because we have sinned, and Jesus took time to love us, we ought to take time to love somebody else. So then you have to ask the question, what is love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are gifts, see, I don't have to name them, prophecies, tongues, all these things are referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts. The gifts are not where it's at. Thank God for the gifts. But what we really have to have is the fruit. We have to stretch in our love. It can be difficult. A long time ago, I met a man by the name of Matthew Barnett. We were at Phoenix First Assembly in Arizona. His dad was like a distant role model to me. And they founded what's called the Dream Center in Los Angeles, California. How many were here when we did the free throws to get the land? Free throws. Okay, y'all was here. But that was a long time ago. That's how we got this land. I shot, I don't know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 free throws, however many. But we raised like $2,000 just shooting free throws. It took me about 6 hours. But I got that from a man who shot free throws for 24 hours. That was Matthew Barnett. Matthew Barnett said this. He said, when you're trying to be a bridge between man and God, sometimes you're going to get walked on. What he meant was, when you're really loving people, people are going to abuse you. People are going to misuse you. People are going to lie to you. But at the end of the day, if you're a bridge, you have to be willing to be walked on. This man was robbed. He was naked, near dead. He really represented a delay in this Samaritan's prosperity, in his prosperous journey. But because he stretched out in love, he said, you know what? I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to meet the needs of this individual. Can we stretch out in love this morning? Not only did he stretch out in love, he stretched out in his giving. He gave of his 2 days' wages to make sure this man had a place to lay his head. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, the scripture says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you have withheld. This is the Amplified version. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it. Then I will rebuke the devourer, the insects, and the plagues for your sake. And he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes before harvest, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be